Tonight on the Worldview Report, for years you've been told that too much red meat will clog up your veins and give you a heart attack. But is that true? New research tonight you will not want to miss. We reported a few weeks ago about a stunning victory for conservative anti-green agenda lawmakers in the Netherlands. But what have they been able to do so far to help reverse the war on farmers? We'll tell you. A toxic coating called Appeal can now be applied to any produce sold in the U.S. while still being advertised as, quote, organic, end quote. And remember those masks everyone was wearing in 2020 and 2021 and most of 2022? Well, now we have evidence that they left behind toxic fibers inside the lungs of millions of people. And cities the world over are mimicking China and trying to replace highways with bike paths. What's that agenda all about? It's going on in Canada, America, and the rest of the West. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening, and welcome to the Worldview Report. Leading off tonight, we have some important health news. Studies, well, for years, have been trying to link red meat consumption to health problems like health disease, stroke, and cancer. But new studies are finding, buried in the recesses of those published papers, the telltale sign of, well, bad research. The big think tank reports that nearly all the research is observational, meaning unable to abstract any sort of convincing causation. Most are plagued by confounding variables. For example, perhaps meat eaters simply eat fewer vegetables or tend to smoke more or exercise less. Moreover, many are based on self-reported consumption. The simple fact is that people can't remember what they eat with any real accuracy. And lastly, the reported effects in these scientific papers, so-called, are often small. Is the supposed 15% greater risk of cancer really worth worrying about? Well, in a new unprecedented effort, scientists at the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation, they scrutinized decades of research on red meat consumption and its supposed links to various health outcomes, formulating a new rating system to communicate health risk in the process. Their findings mostly dispel any concerns about eating red meat. They summarized it in a report at healthdata.org. Quote, "We found weak evidence of association between unprocessed red meat consumption and colorectal cancer, breast cancer, type 2 diabetes, and ischemic heart disease. Moreover, we found no evidence of an association between unprocessed red meat and ischemic stroke or hemorrhagic stroke," end quote. The IHME scientist had been observing the shoddy nature of health science for decades. Big Think reports that each year, quote, hundreds of frankly lazy studies are published that simply attempt to find an observational link between some action, eating a food, for example, and a health outcome like death or disease. In the end, owing to sloppy methods, varying subject populations, and inconsistent statistical measures, everything, especially different foods, seems to be both associated and not associated with cancer. How is the lay public supposed to interpret this mess? End quote. Well, I think most of us always knew a lot of this was garbage, right? The IHME team, they plan to utilize their burden of proof function on all sorts of health risks, creating a massive, freely accessible database. The war against farmers, meat, and dairy consumption in the Netherlands is not letting up in the slightest, despite the election of a slate of so-called conservative lawmakers. The Dutch government is, in fact, considering slapping even more restrictions on farmers to supposedly curb carbon emissions. The farmers and families are devastated, absolutely crushed, and taken to the point where some, sadly, are becoming suicidal. These new proposals come not long after the European Union Commission voted to forcibly strip farmers of their land and slaughter their livestock unless they accept a buyout of their farms over the course of the next several years. It's all being forced upon them by the European Union efforts to reach, quote, climate goals, end quote, associated with the United Nations protocol associated with the Paris Climate Accords. This latest proposal to limit the number of cows on a field, well, it was leaked to an outlet called NOS in preparation to negotiate with the farmers. That's what the Telegraph reports. The proposed limits, here's what it does. It limits farmers to, quote, 0.35 hectares of grassland per livestock unit, end quote, which equates to 2 heads of cattle per the size of 1 traditional soccer field. Traditionally, Dutch ranchers, well, they allow 3.5 to graze per each approximate soccer field. Tensions between Dutch President Mark Rutte, who is very much in favor of stripping away farmland and culling livestock to meet their arbitrary nitrogen emissions reduction goals, well, they're already boiling hot. And this leaked proposal has certainly not helped anything. Telegraph reports that the money would be paid to farmers for rewilding areas of their land, managing ditches and ponds, and creating habitats for insects and birds. But it has not been approved by the government. What's happening over there is already beginning to happen in America. An attack on farmers, and thus an attack on private property, and of course, the food supply. A new study that should come as no surprise has revealed that most people have microplastics, commonly found in disposable masks, in all areas of their lungs. There were 12 types of microplastic found in human lung tissue samples. Now, I'm not going to run through all of these, but there are microplastics that are found in carpets, clothing, automotive. We have, of course, surgical masks, some types of beverage and food containers. We have all kinds of these particles that are found in food wrappers, milk containers, toys, and detergent bottles. In fact, in 2020, the amount of disposable face masks that littered the environment, well, that increased by a staggering 9,000%. And I think we all know why. Billions of people strapped these masks to their faces every day for 2 years and sucked in air through these plastic fibers for 8 hours or more. So, to not have discovered plastic in people's lungs would have been surprising. The confirmation of microplastics in the lungs, well, it also backs up a study conducted in 2020, which predicted a microplastic inhalation risk posed by wearing the mask. Dr. Rich Swire reports, quote, not only are masks uncomfortable, make it hard to breathe, and are completely useless at preventing viruses passing through, but surgical masks worn during the pandemic could have a far unhealthier effect than previously thought. Those British health trusts still mandating face masks in hospitals, and all the dentists and GPs surgeries that seem to have a psychotic obsession with preventing patients from breathing normally, might care to look at the long-term damage they're inflicting on them, end quote. We'll be right back after this break.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0. When I invented MyPillow, it had everything you'd ever want in a pillow. Well, now there's new technology that makes it even better. MyPillow 2.0 has my patented fill combined with a cooling fabric with temperature regulating thread. MyPillow 2.0 is truly the next generation of MyPillow.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time, when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
You're sleeping even better.
And cooler, too.
And you're looking good.
Feeling good.
I knew you would.
Visit MyPillow.com.
Welcome back. The Biden regime is now funding a book using your tax dollars that takes up what it believes are very important subjects. The book, well, it's about drag queens, trans taxi drivers, cruising gay men, and female witches. The book is authored by a drag performer who writes LGBTQ books for children. The National Endowment for the Humanities, or NEH, they awarded a $60,000 grant, $60,000, to Harris Kornstein, who performs in a drag as Little Miss Hot Mess. The deranged Mr. Kornstein is the co-founder and board member of Drag Queen Story Hour and wrote the so-called children's book, quote, "The hips on the drag queen go swish, swish, swish," end quote, and quote, "If you're a drag queen and you know it," end quote. The federal grant, which was awarded in January, is for a book about how drag queens, quote, "playfully dazzle both the human senses and computational sensors," end quote, drawing on, quote, case studies, including drag queens, trans taxi drivers, cruising gay men, and feminine witches, end quote, which is according to a report from Fox News. The research program description says the books will be focused on, quote, "obfuscation, play, and other queer strategies for countering surveillance capitalism," end quote. The description adds that, quote, "this book project induces a concept I entitle digital enchantment, a framework that explores how diverse queer and trans users subvert and expand traditional approaches of privacy by creatively exploiting the features of mainstream technologies and creating their own platforms," end quote. All with your tax dollars. The World Health Organization issued an alert last week that there has been a rise in, quote, "severe myocarditis," end quote, in newborns and infants reported between June of 2022 and March of 2023 in Wales and in England. It is said this was associated with the enterovirus infection, which rarely affects the heart. A UK Health Security Agency spokesperson confirmed to Epoch Times that 10 babies have been diagnosed in Wales and 5 have been diagnosed in England. They did not say if the babies or their mothers had been vaxxed. The WHO said that, quote, "although enterovirus infections are common in neonates and young infants, the reported increase in myocarditis with severe outcomes in neonates and infants associated with enterovirus infection is unusual," end quote. It said that the same hospital covering the South Wales region over the previous 6 years, quote, "only one other similar case has been identified," end quote. The State Department is now offering therapy to, quote, "misgendered employees," end quote, after a system-wide glitch, supposedly accidentally, added pronouns to the from line on employee email addresses. The twist? Pronouns were assigned at random, leading officials to offer counseling to anyone, quote, "who feels hurt or upset," end quote. Stephen Watson of Summit News reports that the State Department has claimed it mistakenly added mandatory pronouns to the from line, meaning to and from, on all the department's emails after it was called out by an AP reporter. The journalist, Matt Lee, vigorously challenged Deputy State Department spokesperson Vedant Patel demanding to know why official emails were being sent with pronouns added to them. Quote, within the last hour and a half, the State Department's internal email system, and I tested this so I know that it's true, has added pronouns to people's, not their signature, but where it says from, end quote. That's what Lee said, adding, quote, why? Quote, this is not an optional thing, end quote. That's what Lee said, adding, quote, the problem is that a lot of them, or at least some of them so far, as I've been able to tell, are wrong. They're giving the wrong pronouns. So men are being identified as women and women as men. It's ridiculous, end quote. Patel appeared to have no knowledge of the development and couldn't provide any answers. Watch this.
Have you gotten any emails from any of your colleagues in the last, you know, before you came out here, obviously not while you've been at the podium, but since about noon or so?
Why don't you get to your question? Okay.
Have you?
What's your question?
Are you able to look at them right now?
My email? Yeah. I'm not going to pull up my email from the podium.
No. You don't need to show it to me.
Yeah.
I want to know if you noticed anything different in the from line where it gives the sender.
Matt, this would be a lot better if you would just all ask right, us I'll what your ask, question
I,
was.
Well, I mean, you haven't noticed anything?
No.
Okay, so within the last hour and a half, 2 hours, the State Department's internal email system, and I've tested this, so okay. I know that it's true, has added pronouns to people's, not their signature, but to their, where it says from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it will say him, he, his, or her, you know,
yeah.
or she, hers. why? This is not an optional thing. This is something that has been, who made this decision?
Well, Matt, I have not seen this phenomenon for myself.
Okay, well, I have, and I'll show it to you.
And is it just, so let me, to ask you a question, is it just for internal State Department people?
Obviously not, because I tested it.
So
I got an email from someone in this building, and whereas before it did not have any of these pronouns attached to the sender's name, it now does. And I've also been told from other people that many of them, or at least...
Well, when you send it, does it have the...
I'll show it to you okay. in a second.
Well, I will say,
you don't know anything about this, then that's fine. Yeah. Can you look into it?
Because I'm happy to look into it.
Why this would not be an optional thing for people to do. But the problem is that a lot of them, or at least some of them so far as I've been able to tell, are wrong. They're giving the wrong... pronouns.
So men
are being identified as women and women as men, and this has nothing to do with whatever transgender anything like that. But it's ridiculous.
This phenomenon has not made its way to my outlook, but I'm happy to check
I've
on
just
this
told
for you
about it. So can you
broadly
can
though,
you get
Matt?
An explanation
broadly
and find
though,
out?
Matt. Of course, the ability for individuals to.
I don't have a problem
to...
with doing it, and if people want to have their. Okay. There or whatever pronoun on attached it is fine, but it should be a choice, right? Not something that is the State Department imposes on people, especially
you,
if it's wrong.
I will look into this. I'm not aware. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Happy Thursday.
Joe Biden is reportedly ready to send another $375 million in weapons and aid for Ukraine. The United States is to hand over another $375 million in military aid to Ukraine. That's what officials in both the Biden and Zelensky administrations have claimed. According to a report by Politico, the so-called aid being sent will include more artillery rounds as well as armored vehicles and anti-tank weapons. The publication claims that the weapons will likely aid in the Ukrainian counterattack on Russian positions in the country, adding that there are likely, quote, months of hard fighting, end quote, ahead. The Ukrainians recently had their last forces pushed out of the key city of Bakhmut. The new aid package is being sent on top of an extra $3 billion worth of aid allocated to Ukraine earlier this month due to a so-called, quote, accounting error, end quote. Well, now it's time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. Renowned psychologist and professor Jordan Peterson addresses the problems associated with bicycle lanes in Canada. In a recent interview, he took a deep dive into the issues surrounding urban infrastructure and transportation planning, shedding light on the potential drawbacks of prioritizing bicycle lanes over vehicles. Dr. Peterson examined the impact of bicycle lanes on traffic congestion, parking availability, and overall urban mobility. He delves into the complexities of balancing the needs of cyclists with those of motorists, pedestrians, and local businesses. Throughout the discussion, Dr. Peterson calls out the real reason why so many cities are prioritizing bike lanes. Watch this.
Well, carbon dioxide is destroying the planet, and cars emit carbon dioxide, and so people who own cars are destroying the planet. And so if I ride a bike, then I'm saving the planet. And if you oppose me riding a bike, then you're opposing saving the planet. And anybody who opposes saving the planet is obviously akin to an agent of Satan. And so now you have the polarization. And the thing that irritates me about that, or one of the many things that irritates me about that, is that that has transformed the simple act of riding a bike, which should be just something you do with your family or you do because you can, in fact, use it to get from point A to B. It's turned it into a kind of messianic moral crusade. And I should point out to all of you who are riding bikes and who think you're saving the planet, you are not saving the planet by riding a bike. You're just riding a bike. And so you should pull the morality out of that argument and put it back into the religious domain where it belongs. And we could actually have a sensible discussion about how we could integrate the multiple forms of transportation that now exist, including scooters, electric scooters and that sort of thing, with cars so that we could all get around, so that our ambulances could work, and so that we didn't make every damn city street as hideous as possible in this counterproductive way, expensively, and while doing absolutely no good. And to your point as well, one of the things that we've seen happening in the West in recent years is that very vocal minorities are holding disproportionate sway over public policy. And that is definitely the case in the biking situation, particularly in Toronto, because it is a very small minority of people who are pushing this. And so I noticed, started to notice probably 10 years ago, that there was something weird going on in Toronto with regard to automobiles, because the city seemed to be going out of its way to make driving in Toronto as annoying as possible. And for a long time, I thought that was just stupidity and the consequence of falling sway to the radicals in the, you know, I bike, therefore I'm saving the world crowd. But I started to understand, I'd like your thoughts on this, I started to understand more recently that there is a consortium of municipalities worldwide, I think they're called C40, if I've got the acronym right, that do in fact have as a long-term goal the radical reduction of private transportation, especially in anything that's powered by fossil fuels, which is like everyone's car. And so the war on automobiles and the continual multiplication of these bike lanes is driven by a very anti-development agenda. And I think it's particularly pathological in Toronto because, of course, it's an uninhabitable city on the climate front because it's so bloody cold for 5 months of the year. And the only people that can use bike lanes regularly are like fit 20 to 25 year old men who actually don't have anything better to do. And that's not a very good group of, what would you call, constituents to design an entire city around. So,
but the majority of people in Toronto say what you're saying, that we've had enough with this obsession with putting bike lanes on every major road. And I came out with a press conference announcement the other week saying no more bike lanes on major roads. Look, I like biking. I go out with my kids. We do it on non-arterial roads. So there's different side roads or roads that are adjacent to major roads where you could put a painted bike lane. But right now in Toronto, all of the bike lanes have these concrete block dividers where there's such rigidity, this sort of free-flowing flexibility.
Oh, and they're beautiful too. They're absolutely beautiful. They've really done a great job on the aesthetics of the city to put up these bloody barriers that are totalitarian in their hideousness. And also those plastic tubes that obviously have a shelf life of about 6 months. They're as hideous as anything could possibly be. And everyone listening who isn't from Toronto, one of the things you need to know about Toronto is that the city's laid out on a grid. And so there are roads everywhere, like there are in Manhattan. It's a grid. And there's absolutely no reason whatsoever ever to put bike lanes on a major thoroughfare, because there are adjacent roads that are much underused, that are actually safer to bike on, that wouldn't interfere with traffic. That's an absolutely pathological, demonstration of policy, that the way you change people's behavior is by inconveniencing them and irritating them unnecessarily, while interfering with their economic productivity and driving polarization, you know?
Excellent analysis there. Calling these city planners out on the carpet right there for their real agenda, which is, as we know, a war on cars. And once we all get our digital IDs and replace cash with artificial intelligence-powered central bank digital currencies, well, they'll be able to instantly punish people who violate their carbon limits by driving too much, as opposed to pedaling their bikes or hopping on public transportation. People have got to wake up, and wake up soon. Or this control grid, and that's what it is, a control grid, will be fully installed by the technocratic elites sitting not only in Washington or at the halls of the United Nations, but in city halls and state capitals. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. As always, thank you for tuning in and for supporting this viewer-supported broadcast. One way you can support us is by making a contribution of any size at WVWFoundation.com. Think of us as the conservative alternative to public television, to NPR. They're listener-supported, right? And they do all kinds of share-a-thons and everything, right? Well, think of us as the alternative, because WVW Foundation exists for a few reasons. One is to push out free programming. It helps people understand the times through the lens of a Christian worldview. We push out free programming, radio shows, TV shows, my Sunday night service that I teach and have been teaching every Sunday night since 2015. We push that out as a public service and as a ministry. Many groups put it all behind a paywall, meaning you've got to pay to see it. We push it out for everyone to watch free of charge. And our bandwidth bill over at WVWTV.com is like $12,000 a month. So if you'd like to help us continue to push out free programming, we appreciate your sponsorship with us through our foundation. WVWFoundation.com. WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. Another way you can support us is, of course, by going to MyPillow.com and using the promo code B66. Now listen, there are huge sales going on over there right now. Everything is going up in price pretty much, right? Inflation. Guess what's going on over at MyPillow? Prices are coming down. So if you want to fight the inflation war, shop where the prices are going down, not going up. Not only are the prices going down, but the quality is staying the same. Many people, I don't think, are producing the same quality they used to produce. I think we can all agree on that, and you're paying more. Well, at MyPillow, the products are top drawer quality, so high in quality, but the prices are coming down on many of them, like the six-piece towel set that you can get for as low as $25. It was $100. They're about just a few pennies shy of $100. Now you get the whole six-piece towel set for $25, but you got to use the promo code B66. That way you get the savings and we get credit, which goes to our general operating budget. They also have over there a slippers, slides, and sandals sale. Giza Dream Sheets, luxurious Giza Dream Sheets on sale. Again, check it all out at MyPillow.com, but please use the promo code B66. That way you get savings, we get credit. If you use another promo code, we don't get credit. We need the credit because it takes a team of about 7 of us, 15 man hours a day to put this all together, just this one 30-minute broadcast. So thank you. MyPillow.com, promo code B66. Finally, WVWTVStore.com. There at WVWTVStore.com, you'll find emergency freeze-dried food that tastes very good. All kinds of emergency supplies. By the way, did you hear recently that the government has given out satellite phones to many, many? I think I heard 50 U.S. senators have gotten satellite phones in case normal communications are disrupted. Huh? What could possibly be in the works? Huh? And now you've got tons and tons of fertilizer missing that could be used for a bomb. I don't know if there's a false flag event coming or something they know's in the wind with cyber hacking or who knows what. But If there was ever a time to have emergency supplies on hand, isn't it now? WVWTVstore.com, not just emergency food that tastes really good, but also emergency supplies. And remember, the emergency food has a 25-year shelf life. I've eaten many of the entrees. They're very good, in fact. In fact, if you put many of these entrees in front of people, they would have no idea it was freeze-dried. Trust me, I've done it. WVWTVstore.com, WVWTVstore.com. You can also use the phone number to place an order, 901-468-9357. Thank you so much for your support. Well, till next time, I'm Brandon House. May God save America. Take care.